feeling this pressure in my ankle. And I looked at her and I said, hey, you have a problem with your ankle? And she said, yeah. And I said, is it your right ankle? She goes, no, it's my left ankle. She goes, but I do, you know, I do have some real problems with it. She goes, I actually think I broke it. And I'm like, how are you walking? And she pulls up her jeans and, you know, she had this thing, she had this ankle brace on it that was real, looked pretty sturdy, looked pretty strong. And I was like, I said, so you're wearing that thing, you know, this whole time? And she goes, yeah. And I said, well, here's the deal. I said, if you let us pray for you, Jesus will heal you right now. I said, so, you know, can we pray for you? And she goes, okay. And so we prayed for her, and she started walking on it. And I said, now, if your pain level is at a 10 before, 0 is no pain, where's it at now? And she goes, it's like a 1.5. I said, okay, cool, 1.5. I said, here, let me pray again. And she goes, no. And I said, what? And I said, wait a minute. You went from a, you know, 10 down to a 1.5, so you're 85% healed, and you don't want me to finish praying the rest of the way. She goes, no. I said, why? Why wouldn't you want that? She said, because. She goes, if I do that, then I have to believe in Jesus. And she goes, I don't want to believe in Jesus. And I looked at her and said, wait a minute. You're 85% healed because of Jesus, but you don't want to believe in Jesus. She goes, nope, I sure don't. And so I was like, I've never had that answer. I've had thousands of answers before. This is the first time I've ever heard that one. You know, but she was like that. It was really cool because, like, the next day we went to this like an outlet mall type of thing. It works a little bit differently in the UK. But we were there, and this guy was a rugby player, and he was on these crutches because he had blown out his knee pretty bad, and he had to have surgery on it. But he's just walking with these crutches and his, you know, leggings with his girlfriend, and I stopped him and I said, hey, I said, you know, see you with the crutches. I said, what happened? And he told me, you know, the story. He said, a rugby accident. I said, look, I said, you know, we can pray for you. You could be completely healed right now. I said, Jesus will heal you right now. I said, would you let me pray for you? And he says, he goes, yeah. And I said, okay. I said, have you ever had anything like this done to you before? And he goes, no. He goes, I've never had anybody come up to me and say, can they pray? They wanted to pray for me before, ever. And he goes, I just got to tell you. He goes, you must be really bored if this is just what you do to be, like, walking around. And I said, no. I said, I am really addicted to it, though. I said, it is really cool. And so he said, so I'm going to go ahead and pray. And he says, okay. And so, you know, he couldn't put any pressure on it because he'd only had the surgery, like, 3 days before. And so he goes to put his, you know, pressure on his knees, starts to stand on it, check it after praying. And I said, so if it's at a 10 before, where is it at now? He goes, it's like a 2. And so I said, can I pray again? And he said, absolutely. So I prayed again, and then it dropped down to 0. And he's literally walking around, holding the crutches straight out, walking around, and he's like, and his girlfriend was freaking out because she was begging him not to check the knee. She was saying, please don't check it, because she was afraid he would injure it, you know, or that it'd be worse. And so, and then he starts, you know, walking around, and then he's looking around like this, and he's like, okay, where are they? And I said, what? I'm like, aliens or something? What are they looking for? And he goes, where are they? He goes, this is some hidden camera show, right? And I was like, wait a minute, how could a hidden camera show make your knee feel better? You know, with this whole, he goes, I don't know, but he goes, somehow I'm being, you know, filmed or something. He goes, this is ridiculous. I said, dude, no, it's just us. It was just me and one of my friends just walking around. I thought, those are the two most bizarre responses I've had. I've had other bizarre responses, but I can't say I'm in a church. But anyway, do me a favor, if you would, just turn to 1 Kings. If you got your Bibles, if not, you can just listen along. Now, one of the things I don't want to take too long here. I want to share some things, and then I want to say, like we said before, we'll do that and then do the offering, and then go into some more ministry. You know what? But I said we were going to do some prophetic ministry. Keep your finger there. Gordon, come up here, if you would. Let's do that, okay? you can see how orchestrated this is. You know, it's all real thought out, planned out on my part. For those of you who weren't here before, this is Gordon. He's hanging out with me this week, and he comes with me on quite a few trips. But anyway, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your presence, just for your spirit here, Lord. I just pray a blessing on just everyone here. Just thank you for encouraging them, and just, Lord, just ministering. Lord, just blessing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody stand up. Okay, I saw you first. I'm in a black scarf, right? What's your name? Alexa, I just saw you just as soon as you stand up. So here's how this works for me. I don't have anything for her, really. I told you guys this earlier. I just start talking and just see what comes up. But as soon as you stood up and got your name right, finally, I just saw you dancing. And I felt like the Lord just said that there's a real, your dancing really blesses him. And that there's just this real expression that you have in that. And that there's a lot of a creativity in you in that, and a real expression of worship. And I hear the Lord just saying he's really blessed by your dancing and your worship. Do you dance? No, it's all right. No, it doesn't have to be professional. I speak publicly just for fun. It's not really professional. No, but, you know, I just saw you just really doing that. And I just felt like, and I just hear the Lord saying, as you dance, walls fall. There's just something about your worship that just really breaks things down. And it breaks down stuff with the enemy. And I just really felt like there was like a lot of stuff that's been shot at you recently. Yeah. Just a lot of discouragement, things like that. Oh, yeah. The enemy trying to throw things at you, discourage you. That's the reason why. It's because he's threatened by you. He sees some things on warfare type
out.
Stuff.
Yeah. Huh? I said he can watch out. Yeah.
He can watch out?
Yeah.
It's hard to hear from up here. I'm really sorry. It's really not my old age and my hearing, but it's the room. No, but I really felt like that there's just, the Lord is increasing, he's turning up to some things that you've been asking him for. There's just, I felt like God is just sort of bringing, it's giving you more influence. There's been some people that have been really heavy on your heart, you really had a desire to reach, but there's just been, it's kind of been, at sometimes they would be sort of open and then they would sort of shut you out and you just sort of felt stonewalled. And I just hear the Lord just saying that this year those doors are going to open up fully. You're going to see some people, even in your family, just completely turn around. Some people that have been sort of at a distance and just sort of been pushing back. You're going to see that open, doors open for you. And I just feel like the Lord just says there's a real crown of favor on your head. And I hear the Lord saying, use that. Use that for his glory. And I don't know what you do, like if you work or what you do, but I feel like God's just promoting you. And like literally, like in your work, there's going to be like a promotion. Like it's going to be, and I feel like it's in the next 6 months, something like that. It's coming for you. So Lord, we just pray your blessing on Alexa and just thank you for her and just pray for encouragement for her in Jesus' name. Yeah, Alexa, now tell me, does that make sense to you? Is there anything that doesn't make sense?
No, it's all correct.
All right, you're not being nice, right?
No, I'm honest. Don't worry, I would tell you.
Okay, good. Thank you. No, I appreciate that. Bless you, Alexa. All right.
The guy... back row, right here. Yep, the one. Not yet. That's you. Right here. You looked at him.
The young one?
Right over here. Back row.
Can you stand up?
What's your name?
Kyle.
Kyle?
Yes.
Kyle, you know, when I looked at you, I just heard the Lord say there's just an eagerness about you. Like you eagerly desire gifts. You eagerly desire for him to just really speak to you on a deeper level than what most people, really request. I just hear that the Lord has put some young men in your life that are really looking up to you. You may not notice how much they're really watching you and watch the way you live your life and some of the examples that you're making in your life, that there's a lot of young men that are really watching what you're doing, and the Lord's bringing more and more around you. Because of the lifestyle you live, there's an integrity in you, and there's just a calling on your life to be a leader. It's like you know, whether you don't have to be an older person to be the leader that you're already turning out to be. I just hear the Lord saying that. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep making the example. And there's a lot of temptation at your age in different arenas. And that's the enemy just trying to pull you, trying to distract you from really, you know, trying to get you busy so you don't go for the toolkit, so you don't suit up your armor. So there's some distractions, I believe, that have been coming your way, and the enemy is after you because you're a threat. So with these other men that are watching your actions and watching what you're doing, and under the temptation and strain and just busyness of life that's coming around you, that's the enemy's ploy. The Lord's just saying, He's got your back. Keep earnestly desiring the gifts that that you've been desiring, and keep mentoring and keep living the life that you've been. So does that make any sense to you?
All right.
Yeah, you said maybe you can get it 100% and take more risks.
Let me jump on that. Kyle, do you have a brother?
Yes.
I just really feel like your brother is just going to be making a big shift in his life. I just saw the Lord just really just pulling him in. There's just a real big turning point coming for him, and it's like right around the corner. I just hear words of being correct. You're going to see it. All right.
I was actually just praying for him just this week that he would come today, but he wasn't able to make it because he's got addictions to alcohol and stuff like
sure.
that. And there's just a lot of stuff going on in his life, but hearing that was just awesome because I was feeling a lot of doubt for him, like just the stuff that's going on in his life. But
Let's pray for him right now. Father, we just call this young man into the kingdom. We call him into full transformation. We thank you, Lord, that you cared enough about him to highlight him, Lord, for us, and to bring his brother to attention. And Lord, we just call that brother in into full relationship. Lord, we just release dreams, visions, things to him, to just see him brought in for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, Kyle. Bless you. My friend sitting here, he's got the bandana on your head. Is that a bandana? That's a bandana, I think. What's your name? What's his name, Jeff? Craig?
Ray.
Right, I sort of rename people just to get that. Ray, I really just felt like that you are a person of really high faith. And I felt like the Lord just kept, just earlier today when I kept looking at you, I thought, that's a man of high faith. And a man of high expectancy. And I heard the Lord I really want to encourage you, sir, step out and pray for people, minister to people. There's a lot of, and I know that you know, so many times people will be like, oh, but, you know, I'm in this shape, this condition, whatever. Man, let me tell you something. You are the revenge of God. You know, you are how God gets revenge. I have a son that's diagnosed with autism. Never supposed to speak, never supposed to look you in the eye, all that stuff. And he loves healing. He'll look you in the eye and help your head off. You know, I mean, everything the doctor said, you know, he's living the opposite of everything. And I mean, he just has this incredible breakthrough. And a lot of that has been just really passion. And I always tell people, God using him to do healing is God's revenge against the, you know, the assignment and the declaration of the, you know, of his condition, of, you know, this thing being diagnosed over him. But I just really felt like there's a real, you're going to see a lot of healing. You're going to see there's a real authority in you. And the Lord wants you to know, he wants to use you, and that's on you. And I feel like there's just some increase of some things that God is just going to be doing in your experience. I don't know how much you dream, but I feel like the Lord's really going to speak to you through dreams. And I want to encourage you to pay attention to your dreams, right? Okay? All right, does that make sense? So Lord, bless him. We just thank you for Ray. We just thank you, Father, just for his faith and for encouragement for him. And Lord, just for your hand on his life. Holy Spirit, just right now, just wash over him. Wash over him, Father. Just lavish your love on him. I pray, Father, that his hands be hot, just with your healing power, healing touch. Lord, just to bless so many in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Ma'am, if you guys need prayer, I get ready to pray for you. I'm serious. Okay? I forget you.
I do. This lady in the green sweater.
Yes.
The scarf.
You got her before I got her.
What's your name?
Sophia.
Sophia, when I looked at you, I just heard compassion. And when there's a compassion in someone of your level, there's areas that you walk where you could be sympathetic to somebody and just kind of agree with their situation and kind of let them stay in that situation, but you're compassionate, which means you want to pull them away. You're not just going to be sympathetic and let them stay there. You're going to be compassionate and just pull them out of wherever they are. And there's something that the Lord's given you. You know, we all receive the Holy Spirit inside of us when we receive the salvation, but the Holy Spirit that you're hosting, we host the Holy Spirit for the sake of others. And just this Holy Spirit is just all over you. And that when you walk, you change the environment. When you walk into a place, you change the environment. When you go into a store, when you go into work, there's just a shift. And the Holy Spirit is you're hosting for the sake of others. You're not walking in with this confidence, and you're not walking in with, it's just what you carry. And that's what God's given you, and that's through your obedience and just silent solitude, the time that you spend with the Lord on your own, and then when you go out, it just shines off of you. So.
I work in a hospital, and my patients always tell me the moment I walk into the room.
Praise
the Lord. Awesome. So, and being here is just what I needed because I lost the leadership. The things that I experienced are beyond comprehension and quite sensitive.
Wow.
Well, let me just pray for you.
Yeah.
So, Father, we thank you for Sophia. Lord, we thank you for this compassionate heart that you've given her. And for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, just come right now. Just lavish your love, your presence, and just even new revelation, new confidence, new tools in her tool belt as she continues to do your work, Lord. And as she continues, not just with the patients, but the entire staff within the hospital, doctors, administrators. Lord, we just ask that you bring them in proximity to her and let them just feel a change, let them feel a shift. And want to just say, I want what she has. So, Lord, we bless her. We bless her in Jesus' name.
This lady right here with a purple scarf around your neck and you have the glasses. Yeah. Are you guys together? Is Jim looks like you guys together? Could you stand up? You guys married? Cool. I really wouldn't call on him to stand up at all, other than I like his haircut. That's just way to go, man. I just want you to know, way to go. And he clearly married up by marrying this lady, so, you know, just all that self-improvement is working for you, brother. ma'am, what's your name?
Paula.
Paula. Yours, sir?
Kenny.
Cool. Paula, just when I look back at you, of course, again, I really don't have anything to say when I call people up, so, like, it's sort of the first, like, word is just me priming the pump in many ways. Paula, I just really feel that there's been some real, I saw you like running in the wind, and it was like the wind was like hitting you like right in the face, and it was like this pressure, and it was pushing and pushing and pressure and pressure, and I just saw you just sticking with it, but getting frustrated at this push of the wind, and then all of a sudden I saw just the wind shift, and it started going the other way, and it started pushing you forward, propelling you forward. And I just hear the Lord say that the time where you felt that pushing against you is actually an endurance thing. It's actually the strengthening. It's not like God's making the wind happen, but he's using the opposition to strengthen you. And there's there's a great strength about you, Paula. And I just feel like there's a real leadership inside of you, and that the Lord is really pleased with that. And I feel like there's been sometimes in your life there's been outlets for it, other times there hasn't been. But I felt like the Lord is just really sort of lifting you up into a place of more visibility. I felt like there are really deep wells inside of you, and that there's been some real depth of things that God has put in you, wells of the Word, wells of understanding God, and just even the process, almost like this teacher thing on you, that there's an ability to communicate stuff and to relate stuff. And I just really feel like all those things, those deposits that have been in you are going to be tapped and going to be drawn off of. And I felt like, too, the Lord really has a healing gift for you. And just that he's going to use you, one for you personally, for you to receive, but also a healing to give. And that the Lord is just really on you for that. Does this make sense to you? Oh, I got a double one of those. Okay, cool. And a little jig. That's awesome. And Kenny, I just saw you. Just God is really, He's really given you just this a real ability to like envision things and to kind of see sort of big picture type stuff. And I really saw the Lord. I just heard the Lord just saying that He's broadening your perspective even further. It's going to broaden your view, and you're going to be able to relate that to people. And I saw you like putting numbers in their place and sort of lining things up that have been like out of place and sort of bringing things to where they all kind of equal out. And I heard the Lord just say that He's really giving you ability to sort of do that and to decipher that stuff and sort of put that together. And then He's going to use you to do that too also, and sort of almost like a pastoral / life coaching type way of being able to really sort of help people navigate and things with them. And that there's a real compassion. I just see the Father heart of God in you, sir. And that there's just a really Father heart of God. And that the Lord's just really pleased with that. But He's going to be making, kind of for both of you, just more place for that in who you are and to expand that. And just that whole sort of Jabez, stretch out, you know, expand the territory. I just really felt like for you guys, the Lord's really going to be doing that. Does that make sense to you guys? Do you?
Okay. Yeah. I was just praying that God would confirm the calling.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. That's awesome. Let me tell you something. What we're doing here is important to realize. We're trying to model for you what you can do. So, like, if I walk up to somebody on the street, every people I walk up to, and I'm like, hey, you know, God's showing me, showing stuff for people. Can I just see what He has for you? And I have no idea what I'm going to say. And I just start talking, literally. So when the things Lord spoke to me that open your mouth and I'll fill it, I mean, that's how I live. You know, it's sort of in that moment when it comes. I don't get much in advance, you know. And so anyway, so this is just like, I would say this the same way as thought if we were out on the street. I'd ask, does that make sense to you? Is that wrong? Is that, don't be nice to the truth, do that same sort of thing. Anyway, we're just trying to model. You can do this, and you can do this just with each other. You can do it one-on-one. It doesn't, you know, the hard thing about prophetic is certainly the only way that you can really demonstrate it is in a bigger picture way. But the whole point of that is to invite you into that, to do it as the one-on-one, the naturally supernatural, you know, lifestyle, okay? So anyway, let me just use that as a teaching point to communicate that, all right? No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Trevor. Yeah. I heard you talking to Robbie, and I just got your name over there. Trevor, when I look at you, the Lord says you're a Kyrex. Now, the word Kyrex means you're the deliverer of a message. In the old days, or like in the English days, the kings would send out Kyrexes to deliver their message verbatim. So they would ride into a town, they get up on a box, and they would deliver a message from the king. So I just hear the Lord saying, you're His Kyrex. That you are to deliver the message. You have this presence about you. You have this truth about you. And some people may misunderstand you, but there's a quiet power that the Lord's giving you. And so He's trusting you to be this Kyrex in areas that are not really places that other people would want to go. So I just hear the Lord saying that He's choosing you to be one of His spokespersons because He trusts you and you're present. And you're like the gentle man of God, the big man of God. And Kyrexes need to carry some authority in that. So when they're delivering the message, they don't deliver it with their own twist to it. You're going to deliver it from the Lord Himself. So I don't know if that's something you've been thinking about or doing. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah.
So, there's going to be a few people that have been mentoring you. And there's some stuff that they've been planting in you, and you're like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if that's me. I'm not. I believe that you need to reconnect with those thoughts, what they've been telling you, that you are qualified. So I'm not sure if that's part of it, too. So,
yeah,
so
I just want to say that God has called me out of darkness, and then He took me back.
Yeah. And that's where He's got you. That's why. You know, so you are
It's time. There's no more hesitation. It's time to, we say, cross the chicken line, so to speak. So, yeah. Father, I thank you for Trevor, Lord. I thank you for this man of God, this man that his heart just pounds for others, and that he just bleeds with you, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for calling on him to be a spokesman for you, just as each and every one of us are called, that a Kyrex from him is just delivering your word in places that are just tough to get to. So we bless what you're doing in his life. Bless where you brought him in those areas, and we just bless where he's going in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Every time you say Kyrex, I keep thinking of cookware. First I said it, I said fire. The fire can come and you'll stay consistent. So you back here with the white scarf on. You got like red, I think it is. What's your name? What? Brenda?
Martha.
I'm sorry. Martha, I really just had this sense that there's just been a dream that's in your heart and something that you've been asking the Lord for. And I just heard the Lord say, it's coming. And that it's not just the thing that you've sort of dreamed about, that sort of asked God about. It's not something that's just, it's almost like you just thought it was you sort of dreaming for yourself or this was just sort of desire. But I hear the Lord just saying it's actually his dream for you. He's actually allowed you to dream his dream, you know, for yourself. And I heard the Lord just say that there is just a real blessing in that, and that it's going to be a real encouragement to several people. And I felt like I don't know if you need a car or something like that. I know this is the way it sounds so strange, but I felt like God was going to put a car in your hands to use or to give away to somebody, and that it was going to be really clear. So I mean, if that just happens, you know. Pray about that, but I really just keeps coming to me as I'm talking. But I feel like the Lord's going to put it, and there's going to be, it's going to really be something significant for somebody. But I saw just like a couple of arrows like in your back, like the enemy shot some arrows at you, and I heard the Lord just say that he's pulling those out and he's healing those wounds, and that he's breaking those arrows so they can never penetrate again, so they can never hit you or hurt you again, and that also just the healing, he's doing some healing in your heart for some hurts that have happened in your heart. And I heard the Lord just say that he's going to use you to bring healing to a lot of others, especially those who have been wounded and hurts and relationships, that there's just a real healing that you're going to be able to bring to other people. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Don't be nice. It doesn't. That's okay. But I just saw that the Lord really has that for you. And I felt like I just felt like God was strengthening your back and even your stance and sort of putting some like reinforcements there just in your back. And so Lord, we just pray just for Martha, just for your blessing on her. Holy Spirit, right now, just wash over her. Father, we just pray your encouragement for her and just fill her up, Lord, with your presence, your power. Lord, right there, just a release. Father, just even if there's anything physically there in the back, we just command just that to line up, just for your presence, just to wash over, just bless her, Father. And just reinforce and strengthen, heal the wounds of her heart, anything that's there, just for her to be able to bring healing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, Martha. Bless you. Yeah. Is this okay? Are you guys all right?
Yeah.
No, you don't like this? All right, let's stop.
Lady in the purple jacket. Yeah. Yes, right? Four throwbacks, fifth throwback, something like that. Purple jacket, yes. Hi. What's your name? Burnell. Burnell. Okay. Yeah, it is unusual. That's because you're an unusual person. You know, there's some, the Lord just, when I looked at you, Vernell, I just heard that there's some, it's the enemy just throwing it at you, and there's some times where you're saying, if I could have only done this then, if I could have, if I was younger, and I'm not saying you're older, but I'm just saying there's the enemy's throwing it at you as regrets, that it just wasn't the time. It doesn't mean the time's run out. The Lord's, there's some things that you said, if I could only have more time, or if I would have done this back then, I wish I'd have done it. Your hourglass is getting turned over. So there's, you know, it's not running out, it's turned over, and it's full at the top. So you've got a lot of life left in you, there's a lot of energy left in you, there's a lot of desire left in you. I hear the Lord saying, put that to use, and not kind of let the enemy say, you should have done this then, you should have, you know, that kind of thing. And I believe there's a circle of your friends. You guys talk about what could have been in a lot of ways, but I believe the Lord's going to, at the enemy, the Lord's going to turn around and say, what are we going to do now? So I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Sounds great.
Sounds great. And as Rob said, don't be nice to me. It's, you know, is there anything that makes sense, doesn't make sense? You're good with that?
Okay.
All right. Well, let me just pray for that. Lord, we thank you for Renell. We just thank you for the heart that she's got. Just this heart of so much love for her family and friends, and that she just, you know, gives a lot of herself and actually forgets about herself, her own self in so many ways where she's just self-sacrificing. Lord, we just ask for your blessing on her. Just give her a new look at the Bible. When she starts reading it, new things are jumping out at her. And not just the same old stuff all the time. And not that it's old stuff, but just there's a new revelation, Lord. We just ask for you to reveal those things to her. And just restore some of the areas the enemy's been trying to take away. And just restore those areas that have been stolen from her. And Lord, we just ask that you just bring it to fruition. And that you give her dreams, you give her visions, you just speak to her. We just thank you for her now. We bless her. Bless her, Jesus.
Gentleman with the button collar. Yeah, what's your name?
Trevor.
Okay, Trevor. I have no idea what I'm about to say to you. He's stepping out again one more time. But Trevor, I just see these double doors. It's almost like a theater, and it's like this one door that had kind of closed off to you. And it kind of shut, and it was like frustrating. But then, like behind it, were these double doors, and God was just opening up these double doors that were for you. And I really felt like that there was, I felt like there was an expansion of Lord opening up a place of influence for you. I feel like there's just, I said this to somebody else earlier. I felt like a promotion, like God's promoting you. I just hear, you know, increasing your level of influence and increasing. There's been some real, I feel like there's been some real jewels that God has put in your hands, some real valuable things that God has put in, some resources for some things. And I hear the Lord just saying that he's going to give you really wisdom in how to use those, how to activate those, and also how to call those out in other people. You're going to begin to see the diamonds and the rubies and stuff that are in people's lives and begin to call them to the surface. And I felt like that there was even some things like younger, where there was like sort of this hunger, you know, for some affirmation. And I mean, every younger person sort of wants that. But I feel like, I'm at my age, I want that. But I felt like that there was just some of that you were hungered for that you didn't get. And I hear the Lord saying that he's going to use you to give it to others. And I just see the name Barnabas. Barnabas means son of encouragement. And I feel like there's something that you're going to call people to through encouragement and through, like, affirmation. Have you seen Father of Lights, the movie Father of Lights? So in there, this one gang member, his name is Sam. This is the guy that I mentioned earlier, kind of like a sawed-off shotgun to kill me and stuff like that. His big glasses. Anyway, in that movie, Sam one day we were in worship. In our service, this is after he had given his life to Christ and totally transformed. And I leaned down. I mean, this guy was like the main guy over the Latin teams throughout the Chicagoland. It's a big deal. And I leaned down to him, and he would look at me, and he would see me kneel and pray and worship, and he would kind of mimic it. I could tell he didn't know what he was doing yet, but he was just saying, "Oh, this is what Robbie's doing. That's what I'm gonna do." And I stepped over to him, and I just put my hand on his back as he's kind of kneeling down. He didn't see me get up. And I put my hand, and I said, "You know, Sam," I said, "I'm so proud of you. I'm just really proud of you. And he just burst into tears. And he looked up, tears streaming down his face. I mean, he's bigger than I am, a real tall guy. He looked at me and he goes, "Robbie, I've never had a man ever say they were proud of me." And he just wept and wept and wept as he was just sort of hearing this affirmation. I really hear the Lord say there's more power in there's authority in you to give these words of affirmation that are really going to call people to a place the Lord wants them to be. And it's not going to be through like, "Hey, go here instead of here," but really through affirming them to the direction that the Father's calling them to. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I feel like the Lord's really going to begin to highlight that and give you some wisdom for that end. And I felt like, too, in the expansion, you know, like sort of a double door, so I just really see like there's just a real blessing. I feel like this even almost like windfall type blessing coming to you and to your family this year. It's going to be something that's going to be a real encouragement, but again, as that resource, it's just going to be something releasing to you. So just be on the lookout for that and just wisdom for you. Does any of that make sense to you?
It does. The thing with Laura, double door thing, just some things that are going on at the office, and again, looking against that, but.
Right. You know, yeah. That's going to break through. That's what I see that breaking through.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Trevor, I bless you in Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you for this man and just for the sensitivity in your heart that you have. And just, I just hear the Lord just saying, He's just on you. And Lord, we just bless that. And I just pray for just your encouragement for him, just as he steps out of and encourages others. Lord, that they would just feel the Father's love coming through that. We just bless him, Father, with that. Just thank you, Lord, just for, just again, the windfall of blessing just opening up this year. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, sir. Bless you. Okay. All right. I was going to say you guys can be seated, but you're already seated. So. All right. So, 1 Kings 18. Let's pick that back up. Okay. And so, one of the things I want you to take a look at here is a place where one thing I love about this passage is this is a really challenge passage, and this is a really type of thing where we see something. I hope you see something that maybe you haven't sort of grasped before in this. But if not, you know, that's cool too. But here Elijah is going up against the prophets of Baal. And the prophets of Baal outnumber Elijah. Now here's the thing. Ahab, the king, and his wife Jezebel, Jezebel has gotten Ahab to worship this god Baal. And they have these prophets, and they've sort of shoved Jehovah aside and started worshiping this god Baal. And there's all this stuff that's going on, and there's this tension. You know, Jezebel hates Elijah. She despises him. She wants to kill him. And here Elijah is you know, calling the people back to God, calling them back into relationship. They're not listening. It's just this tug of war of stuff that's going on. So finally, Elijah says, "All right, here's the deal. We're going to have a basically almost like a spiritual contest where we're going to put the prophets of Baal up against the prophet of God, and we're going to have this sort of showdown. And here's the deal. You're going to sacrifice to your God, and you're going to call for your God, you know, to come and to answer by fire. You're going to put a sacrifice. You can't put fire to it. And I'm going to make a sacrifice. And whosoever God answers by fire, he's God, and all the other prophets have to die." What do you call that? Risk. Elijah's taking the ultimate risk, right? So here, it's a big challenge. And so it says, about noontime, now he tells them, he goes, "You guys get to go first. You call on your..." And so they're crying out, and they're like, you know, crying out to their God, and they're crying, nothing's happening. Now listen to this, in verse 27, it says, "About noontime, Elijah began mocking them and says, 'You'll have to shout louder.' He scoffed, 'For surely he's only a god. Perhaps he's daydreaming. Or maybe he's relieving himself, meaning going to the bathroom. I love how the Message Bible says, maybe he's on the toilet and he has the fan on and he can't hear you. You know, it's like, cry louder, cry louder. And so let's just be honest here. Elijah's being a bit of a brat, you know. He's kind of being a bit of a brat. He's really provoking them. And so he's getting this really strong. And it says, or maybe he's away on a trip, maybe he's on vacation or asleep, and you got to wake him up, so cry louder, cry. And so with all that, they start crying louder. And says, so they shouted even louder, and following their normal customs, they began to cut themselves with knives and swords until blood was gushing out of them. And they raged on all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice, but there still was no sound and no reply and no response. And then I love this. And it says, then Elijah basically said, come over here. Now Elijah's like, all right, that's enough. He's like, before you guys bleed out, before I get to kill you, before you bleed out. I mean, I always love in the Old Testament how that the New Testament is so much more loving and so much more kind. The Old Testament just looks like a Vin Diesel movie half the time. You know, I mean, it just looks like this rough, rugged, you know, sort of thing. And so he says, Elijah called them, come over here. And they all crowded around him, and as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. Now let me tell you something. There's something really powerful in that verse right there. Elijah comes and he repairs the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. You know, I want to tell you something. I felt like the Lord really spoke to me that verse one time regarding us in the vineyard. That there needs to be a repair of the altar of the Lord, a repair of this place. You know, Scripture talks about places where they would sacrifice regularly. When they would go to look for a place to sacrifice animals and they would do sacrifice to the Lord, they would look for what they called a clean altar. And the reason why they called it a clean altar, because a clean altar was an altar where when the fire came, it consumed everything. And regular fire would leave ash, would leave stuff, would leave this, but a clean altar would consume everything. And they knew, this is where the fire of the Lord has burned before. This is where the fire of the Lord has burned before. And so they would search to sacrifice on clean altars where the fire of God had been. And you know, I'm going to tell you, this altar had been torn down. It could not have this place of the presence. It could not because it had been torn down. And the Lord is calling us, prepare the altar. Provide a clean altar. Provide a place for His presence to inhabit and to build and to strengthen. And it says He took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel. And He used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. I just love that. Rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. And it says, and then He dug a trench around the altar, large enough to hold about 3 gallons of water. Now, let me stop there. What's Elijah doing? Who said that? You said that? He's turning up the risk. He's turning up the risk. You see it? Start looking through Scripture and see this a lot. You see David do it, standing before Goliath. You see so many times where it doesn't say here that he had a prophetic word to do this. He's just cranking up the risk. He's taking a greater risk. Now what's Elijah saying? When Elijah looks at them and calls them over and says, we're going to have this, you know, we're going to show and whose God answers by fire, He's God, all the other prophets have to die. He's doing this demonstration. Basically, let me tell you something. One day when I was in my office in my house, and we had this boy. I talked about my son Cana earlier, the one who was diagnosed with autism. And this one little boy on the block would always tease him and mock him and bully him because of his autism, you know. And he was really unkind to him. And Cana to this day, he really gets angry and he gets really disturbed when he sees somebody, you know, being like if some kids are laughing and pointing at somebody, he automatically assumes they're mocking the person and he'll go defend them. It really bothers him because of what had happened to him. And this little boy was, I gotta be honest, was the worst. This little boy on our block. And so anytime he would come around, I would tell the other boys, I said, try to keep this boy away because he's always so mean, you know, to camp. And so I looked at, I heard something outside the window, and I looked outside the window, and I saw Kano looking at this little boy, and he has his hands on his hips, and he's like, saying something to this boy, and this boy's like, and I'm like, oh man, I better get out there. You know, there's just the two of them alone. And so I throw open the door, and as soon as I do, I hear Kano say, oh yeah? He goes, well, you go get your daddy. You bring your daddy here. My daddy's about to beat your daddy up. Now, that boy's daddy was twice my size. How do you think I responded to that? My shoulders go back, my chest goes out. I'm like, what's going on out here? Why? My boy believes in me. He believes in me. That daddy would have showed up and he would have mopped the sidewalk with me. But I would have given it all I had. I know you think less spiritually of me now that I say that. I don't care. You know why? Because my son believed in me. He believed in me. Now listen. What's Elijah saying? My daddy's about to show up and take your daddy. My daddy's about to show up and take your daddy. With each one of these, he's going to show up and take your daddy. He says, dig a trench around it. And then I love it. He says, now pour water on it. And he cuts up the bull and he puts it on there and they pour water on it. And he's like, now do it again. Hold 3 gallons. And you got to realize, he has these three large jars. You realize these are probably not like little gallon jugs or, you know, little liter jugs. These are probably that tall. They're probably that big. So these are gallons, potentially. And with each pour, he's like saturated. So much so that the sacrifice is soaked. It's dripping. The trench is filled with water. It's overflowing. And he keeps saying, do it again. He has to put 12 of those on top of that sacrifice. Now, I don't know how it works here in Canada, but in Illinois, the state I'm from, water is a fire inhibitor. Is it the same here? Water prevents fire from burning. So, I mean, this is in direct contrast. It's not encouraging the fire. It's a resistance to the fire. Now, what I want you to notice is this. So he stands back and he says, now, let the God who answers by fire. Now, does God look down and say, now, Elijah? Somebody is a little too confident, you know, in their offering here. Somebody is a little too over the top and believing me just a little too much. Somebody needs a humility adjustment here. So I'm not going to show up to teach you a lesson because the greater miracle is in your character. Is that how God responds? No. He barely gets the word out. Now let the God who answers by boom, fire falls, get this, consumes the sacrifice, all the water, all the wood, laps up the water in all the trench, consumes it all. And you know what I think God is looking down at Elijah going? He's like, got your back, boy. Got your back, son. He shows up. God's not holding back. He's pleased to show up. Elijah believes in him. Now here's the deal. You're going to be up against some circumstances where you're going to go, I don't know if I should say that. I don't know if I should pray that. What if it doesn't happen? What if this? What if this? What if this? If you live by that, you'll never do much. You'll never get very far. You'll never step out. I want to encourage you, turn up the risk. Turn up the risk. Don't shrink back from it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't feel like, you know, it's just going to, you're going to end up on your own. And then it's like, you know, look at one more. Turn to Luke. We were quoting it earlier. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke so it says, now the Lord shows. No, let me tell you something. Well, I'll tell you in a minute. Hang on. Let's read this verse. In verse 1, it says, now the Lord shows. I'm reading from the NLT, so if it reads a little different than yours, that's why. It says, now the Lord chose 72 other disciples. Why? Because in Luke 9, he had sent out the 12. Luke 10, he's sending out 72 others. So these aren't the same as the 12. It's a totally different group of people. So other disciples, and he sent them ahead in pairs and to all the towns and places he planned to visit. I love that. You know why? That shows the benevolence of God. Here, Jesus is wanting to go visit these towns. He's planning to go visit these towns. And instead, he sends out disciples to go there instead of him. That's God wanting us to share in his experience. That's God wanting us as his creation, as his children, as his followers, to share in his power. He's wanting them to share in it. He's being gracious to them. So he says he sent them out to all the places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Guys, the next word that you hear, I believe, is the only prayer request Jesus ever makes in all of Scripture. Now, we see Jesus praying for things all the time and praying for people all the time, but I believe the only time where he says, guys, I really need you to pray for something, I need you to pray for something, I believe it's right here. He says, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into the field. Man, this so reveals the heart of Jesus. He's like, guys, there is a need for more people to go out, and there's not enough people willing to go. There's a need for more people to share the gospel, to pray for healing, and there's not enough that are willing to go. Would you pray? I mean, the only prayer request Jesus makes is he's looking at us and saying, would you pray that more people would step out? That more people would go? I mean, this really reveals a lot about Jesus' heart. And then the next words, now go. I love that. Now go. And remember, I am sending you out as conquering warriors. I am sending you out endowed with great power. That fireballs will shoot from your palms and lightning bolts from your eyes as you go out to preach my word. Is that what it says? Why doesn't it say that? If I had written it, that's what it would say. What you hear next could very well be the worst pep talk ever in the entire history of mankind before sending people out to go do evangelism. I mean, Jesus could have really used like Tony Robbins or somebody like that to coach him on how to motivate people. This is like the worst pep talk in the planet. He says, now go. I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. So the jaws of this world can crush your bones and rip your flesh from your body. Have fun, boys. Go get them. Dead King Jesus. Doesn't that make you just want to sign up and go, I'm going? This is the worst pep talk in the entire... And guess what? It gets worse. It gets worse. Look at this. I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. You don't get to take any money with you. You do realize this is not an afternoon excursion. They're going out for days. Days. You don't get to take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag. You don't get to take an extra pair of sandals. Leave your toothbrush at home. It's getting ugly now, isn't it? And he says, and don't stop any along the way. That, I mean, man, this is terrible. This is the worst pep talk in the planet. And then he goes on and he goes, and by the way, you know, stop. And there's a little bright spot in 9. He goes, heal the sick, and tell them the kingdom of God is now near them. But if they beat you and cast you out of the city, your great revenge is you get to brush the dust off your feet and move on to the next city and say, may I please have another? Have you ever thought about this? This is the worst pep talk in the planet. What is Jesus thinking? What's Jesus doing? Say it louder. He's turning up the risk. You see it? He's increasing the risk. See, I just think you guys are being nice to me. I don't think you're really getting what I'm saying here. Let me tell you something. Come Monday morning, you're going to go into the same environment. How are we going to respond? Play it safe. Shrink back. Or are we going to crank up the risk? Do we believe what it says here? Do we believe this? Look what happens next. I love this. So it says in verse 17, it says, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we used your name. I mean, they're stoked. Even the demons. Jesus didn't say anything about demons in the earlier part. He didn't mention anything about demons. They're like, even the demons obeyed. This is so cool. They're excited. And Jesus says, yes, he told them. And this next phrase has puzzled me for years. He goes, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I always wonder, what is that? I mean, I used to always think, is this some sort of senior God moment for Jesus in this time? Where all of a sudden they're saying this, and he goes, and yes, and I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. As you're like flashing back to the beginning of time, watching Satan being cast out of heaven. Is that what's happening here? No. I believe Jesus is speaking in the moment. He's saying to them, as you guys have gone out and done this, you have dethroned Satan in this territory. You have dethroned the enemy in this territory. You have stepped out and you have dethroned the enemy in your territory. How many of you want to see that? Three of you. Praise God. Three of you. Three of you. Talk to the rest. Get them motivated and want to see the same thing. Seriously, guys. We're talking about this. He's saying, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I believe he's talking in the moment. Let me tell you something. Everybody told us in Aurora, it'll never happen. It'll never see it. They'll kill you. They'll do this. Well, let me tell you something. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I saw the enemy dethroned in my territory. I saw the enemy dethroned in my city. I had a bunch of pastors who prayed and interceded and hit the streets together. We were rejoicing. Why? We saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Amen. Envision that. And you may stop and think, well, it's just feeding a few poor people. That's all it is. Well, guess what? That's an unselfish act, and it's the character of the humility of Christ. And guess what it does? It dethrones the enemy in your territory. Reaching out and loving those who are unloved, you're dethroning the enemy in your territory. Don't lighten it as if it's just, oh, it's just something, no big deal. No, it is tearing down strongholds. Loving people that you were taught growing up to hate or to repel or to go against dethrones the enemy in your territory and in your family. It dethrones him. Don't shrink back from that. And I love this because look at what Jesus goes on to say. He says, yes, he told him, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He says, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you have heard you only have authority over certain demonic spirits? You guys have never heard that before? It's like an epidemic throughout the rest of the world. You don't have authority to pray against those demons. No, those demons are territorial demons. Don't go up against there. They'll kick your butt if you do. You've never heard any of this before? You have? A couple of you? All right. Guess what this says? All. Jesus is saying, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy.
Never approach anybody demonized or something that is demonic. Never approach it as if you're not sure if you've got authority. You have authority over all. Everything that Satan comes up, you have authority over all disease, over all sickness. You have authority over it. You have authority over it. I can't hold my breath and make it happen, but we have authority over it. Why? Because Jesus took that on the cross. All of it. And so he says, I have given you power over all the powers of me. You can walk on snakes and scorpions. And finally, why doesn't he say that up in verse 3? Yeah, you go out, you go trample on scorpions and snakes. Why didn't he put this cool stuff in there then? Why only when he's going to get back? You can crush them. Nothing will injure you. How cool is that? Nothing will injure you. My friend Scott McNamara, who's a guy up in Coleraine, Ireland, at the vineyard there with Alan and Catherine Scott. About 3 years ago, I was speaking at their church, and I was doing this. He came up to me, and he goes, I have a real heart to reach out. He's part of the church. I used to be a drug dealer. He used to be a serious addict and stuff. And he came up to me, and he goes, you know, he goes, will you go with me? He goes, I want to go to this bar where the, you know, where the resistors go, the people who are paramilitary resistance go to. And he goes, I want to share Jesus with them. I want to preach to them. He goes, but man, it's a dangerous thing to do. And he goes, if you'll go with me, they'll listen to you. If you'll go with me, they'll listen to you. And he kept saying that. And I said, Scott, the problem is my schedule is to where I don't have time to go with you. I said, but Scott, if you believe I can go and do it, then you can go and do it. I said, if you believe that God will be with me in doing it, then that means the Lord's with you to go and do it. I said, so Scott, go. And he goes, dude, you don't know how dangerous these people are. And he goes, you know, you've been around some of that danger. I haven't been around that type of danger, you know, the way that you've been in that type of danger. Seeing all that. I said, no. You know, who are we talking about here? Are we talking about Robbie's ability? Or are we talking about God here? He said, we're talking about God. And I said, and God is with you, right? Same God. It's not like, you know, there's not like a Happy Meal-sized Holy Spirit. You know, I get super-sized, you get the little Happy Meal version. I said, Scott, that's not how it works. And I stopped and I looked at him and I said, Scott, can I tell you something? And he said, what? I said, you're bulletproof. And he goes, like that. And when I said it, I was kind of like, I hope that's true. And he goes, I'm bulletproof. I'm bulletproof. He goes, all right, I'll go. And I said, he goes, will you pray for me? Give me like an impartation prayer that I'll receive. And I said, sure. So I prayed for him. He goes out. Now, here's the deal. He came back later that evening. He won 6 of those guys to Christ that afternoon. Scott has kept going. In the past 3 years, he has led over 1,800 people to Christ one-on-one. Just him. Thank you. Just him. He hasn't stopped, man. He hasn't. Why? Because he wanted to see Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Coleraine, Ireland. He wanted to see him fall. But listen. He says, but don't rejoice. Don't rejoice. Because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. What's Jesus saying? Don't rejoice in the power. Rejoice in your identity. Rejoice in who I've brought you into. Rejoice in the relationship that I brought you out. Let me tell you something. Power outside of the presence is witchcraft. Power absent presence of God is witchcraft. It's true. But in the presence to everything. Never pursue power without the presence. The presence is everything. He says, but rejoice. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. We do this not because it's a task that I have to accomplish. We do this because this is who we are. Who God has made us to be. Who God has made us to be. He's made you to be more than a conqueror. I was talking about the couple from Iran. I remember we were in Zimbabwe. I was in Zimbabwe. And I was there. There was a guy there that planted a vineyard church years ago. And
And right after he had planted the church, he had come up to the Toronto blessing stuff. He'd been really rocked, really touched, really powerful, blessed. He went back, he planted a vineyard church, and man, it was incredible. He started bringing people to Jesus like crazy. And this one village, 9 months after he planted the church, this one village called, and they said, "We want you to come out. The whole village wants to accept Jesus." And he was all excited because this was in the worst part of town. And so he went out there, and it was a trap. They got Andy, and they brutally murdered him. They ripped his body apart. It was a horrible, tragic event. Andy Shaw. And so his widow showed up in Chicago, and I got a phone call and said, "Pam Shaw, Andy Shaw's widow wants to meet with you." This is now like, 15 years later. And said, "She wants to know if you'll meet with her. She wants to talk to you about something." And I said, "Sure." So my wife and I went to this restaurant. The two ladies had brought Pam there. And Pam retold the story of what had happened. I had read the story, I remembered the story, but she retold the story of what had happened. And she goes, "So here's the deal." She goes, "I've heard your teaching on taking a toll." And she goes, "I want a toll taken for Andy's murder, for his martyrdom." And I looked at her and I said, "Whoa, you're really hitting low." I told her, I said, "The problem is my budget for mission stuff this year is completely shot." I said, "I can't do it." It was the anniversary, like the 15th anniversary of his murder. She wanted, and she goes, "And I want to see people come to Christ at the very site where we were and all this stuff, where it happened." And I looked at my wife, because my wife was, the one who could say yes or no. And I looked at her and I said, "I'm already booked, I've already got it." And she goes, "You have to go. You have to go." And I said, "Okay." And so I looked at her, I said, "We'll figure a way, we'll make it work somehow." I said, "But we'll go." And so we went there, and it was so amazing. We went to the very site. Guys, and all week long, for 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks I was there, and we were just going from village to village, place to place, and just doing meetings, and just going to the marketplaces, praying for people. And Africa's a cool place. Africa's kind of like the Middle East. Like, you go and you pray, we were talking about this earlier, you go pray for like one or two people, and just hundreds start running, When Todd Way, when my buddy Todd went to Israel and Father of Lights, when he went to Jerusalem, he calls me and he goes, "Man," he goes, "I've never been there." He goes, "What's it like? What's going on?" And I was like, "Dude, trust me, you just start doing your stuff and people come running." I said, "You're not going to have to look for anybody who needs healing. They'll come find you." And that's exactly right, especially like Africa and the Middle East, it really works like that. We pray for one or two people. So anyway, so this one guy who had taken over the church, I forget his name now, but anyway, Darren. Darren, he had taken over the church, and he said, "Robbie," he goes, "I want to go out with you this afternoon, but I just got to tell you, I'm terrified to pray in public." He goes, "After what happened to Andy," he goes, "Andy was my friend," he goes, "I'm terrified to pray in public for people." He goes, "I just don't want to do it, and I'm scared." And he goes, "But I want to go with you. Can I just go and watch you do it?" And I said, "Well, Darren, here's the deal." I said, "You stay with me and just do whatever I say." And I said, "I promise you, by the end of the day, you're never going to be afraid ever again." And he goes, "How can you promise that?" And I said, "Trust me, I'll never be afraid ever again." And so I was like, "Stay with me, okay?" And he goes, okay. And so we get there, we go to this area where they have all these vans that travel all over Zimbabwe. And you go there and you just pick the van going to the spot you're going to, and everybody piles in or on top or behind, and you're just, hanging on as they drive down the highway heading to whatever city you're going. There's like hundreds of them all around, and there's thousands of people. And so I told Darren's like, "If we go there, there'll be a bunch of people that we can pray for healing." I said, "Cool, let's go there." So we go there and we pull up the van that we're riding in, and they threw open the door, and I said, "Darren?" He goes, I'm right here. I said, "Okay, stay right with me." He's like, okay, trust me. Now his eyes are really big. I can see he's already scared. And so we jump out of the van, and there's just thousands of people around. And I was like, "Hey! Anybody need healing in your body? Come here! Jesus will heal you right now! My friend Darren is going to pray for you, and you're going to be completely healed." Hundreds of people came around. People just started gathering around. And Darren's like, "Ah!" Darren had about 65 or 70
people surround him, he could not get out of the circle. He had to pray his way out of the circle. And he looks at me and he goes, ah! And I'm like, dude, they're all yours. Start praying. And so he started praying for after about 45 minutes. And I had my own circle. We all had these little spots and circles around. I looked over. Darren goes, Robbie! And I looked over at him and he looks up and he holds his hand up and he goes, no fear. I'm like, yes. Now, the after part of that is Darren has kept going back to, we had a dude that was quadriplegic and literally was being brought to the meetings, like, you know, in one of those straws where you have to drive yourself around and that. He was quadriplegic. He got, by the last day, that guy, we prayed over a period of time. It wasn't like boom, just instantly, but that guy over a period of time, that dude was playing rugby the last day before he left. He was completely healed. He went back to the doctor, and the doctor was like, they did another set of x-rays and another scan on him, and the doctor comes back and he goes, there's only one problem. He's like, what's that? He goes, you're still a quadriplegic. And he goes, how do you explain this? And he goes, I don't know. In other words, all the damage was still showing up, but he was completely healed. There was no problem. It's crazy in the face. So anyway, and then this other guy got healed of AIDS who was supposed to die because of AIDS, and he literally had just a few days to live. He got completely healed. So the quadriplegic dude who moves, the guy with AIDS who was supposed to die, and Darren, they've been going back like every other day to that same place, praying and praying and praying, and they haven't stopped. There's a guy named Alexander Venter in the South Africa vineyard. He wrote me an email and he goes, what did you do to Darren? He goes, that guy just is a machine now. He's just going for it all the time. But I didn't want to tell you that part. We went to this one site. There was the last meeting that we were having. And it was so awesome because my ministry team for that last meeting, you know, where they found Andy, my ministry team was Andy's two orphan children. Going to that very site and just watching them cry while we're praying for these people, just knowing that possibly they had some connection to their dad's death, you know? And I just sat there and I sat back and I thought, wow, that's the revenge of God right there in full swing. Just God using us instead of trying to go and get, and to see this, and I asked Pam, I said, how many people do you want to see come to Christ at that spot? She goes, I want 200. We had 206 people give their lives to Christ at that spot. Guys, let me tell you something. That scene when Satan fall like lightning from heaven, I want you to envision that for your community. Envision that for your city. Listen to me. Next, how many of you prayed for a revival or for renewal for your city? How many of you prayed for that? Can I propose to you the next great move of God for your city is sitting in your seat right now. It's Christ in you. The next great move of God. You think you're waiting on God to move. Remember what he told Wimber? It's all down there waiting for you. It's waiting for us to put it into action. Alright? Now we're going to pray for ministry, but I'm just going to ask Nate if he'll come back up for just a minute. And I just want to tell you again, this again, we're doing the missions offering now. And I want to just encourage you to really just pray, just do whatever the Lord tells you to do. But I want to encourage you guys, don't just see this as something, oh, that's Robbie's thing, or that's so-and-so's thing. I want you to hear the invitation of the Spirit of God for you to step into that. And I remember one time after, I just said this one real quickly, right when we had this Iranian couple that we had brought over, and I brought them to Bolivia with me. Because Bolivia, again, is a place they'll go home from. They're not going to want to stay in Bolivia. They'll go back to Iran. And we were there. We were praying for people out on the streets. We were seeing people get healed. And I remember as we were driving back to the place we were staying. We were staying at this particular school. And we're driving back. And we had to do this three-circle thing of you know, they would speak in English. But they would speak in Farsi. And then one of them would translate into English, and then they would translate it into Spanish. So we had this sort of three-ring of translation going on. And I remember as we were driving back to the place where we were staying, they had just seen this woman's leg, her bone from her knee to her hip was bowed out, kind of like the one that Gordon was talking about, the guy in the restaurant, was bowed out. She couldn't walk straight. It messed up her back. And she got completely hit. You could hear the bone. It sounded like it was breaking back into place, like pop, 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 pop.
And then it just straightened right out, and she starts like trotting around, you know, this little Bolivian lady with one of those sombrero hats and little, you know, thing. It was so cute. And the couple, they were just, as we were driving, they were just crying. This couple from Iran that we brought over. And as we were driving back, they looked at me, and I stopped, and I thought, because I've seen this before. I was like, man, they're disappointed because we have such freedom here, and they don't have the freedom there, and they're sort of grieving the loss of not having that freedom. And I looked back, and I said, hey, it's Ramin. I said, are you guys sad because, you know, you don't have the kind of freedom that we have here, and you're seeing that, and it's making your heart, you know, sad? I said, is that what's going on? He goes, no. He goes, we're weeping. He said, because you guys in the West can do this anytime you want. Why isn't the church in the West doing it every day, all day long? And I looked at him and I said, because we're scared. And he said, scared of being killed or imprisoned? And I said, no. I said, we're afraid of people laughing at us. And he goes, that's it. I said, yeah, that's it. Guys, let's change that. I challenge you, let's change that. Let's change that. Okay? All
right. Right. Just turn our eyes of our heart to the places where it's not risk of being laughed at, it's risk of death, and in many places that is the reality. Lord, we ask that you would extend your hand, stretch out your hand to these lost and forgotten places, and let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Let Satan fall from heaven like lightning. We ask that you'd use people here, you'd use us, you'd send us to our neighborhoods, but also send this boy. Lord, we ask that your continued anointing would rest on him right now. We commission him with the love of the people of Winnipeg and Manitoba to go. Go, brother. Equip them like you've been with us today.